Good morning. It's 8464CA, part of our Wellness Tuesday. I want to talk about, well, what we traditionally brand as generally smoking. Thankfully, the numbers of people smoking has reduced dramatically in the last 20 years or so. And even amongst young people, they're staying away from the traditional cigarettes and tobacco. But for some reason, I guess it's possibly making them feel better to say that they don't smoke cigarettes. The amount of vaping that's occurring is quite surprising and quite alarming. Now, black market vapes have flooded the city, being sold away from government supervision, and these black market sellers also freely sell dodgy disposable vapes to children. Anecdotally, I'm actually hearing these stories as well. My special guest this morning is the founding chairman of the Australian Tobacco Harm Reduction Association and currently a member of the Smoking Cessation Guideline Expert Advisory Group, Dr. Colin Mendelson. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Murray.
Nice to have you along. And living with a couple of teenagers, I am actually starting to see this firsthand. There is a bit of a sweet smell. It's a bit like maybe bubble gum, what it was when I was a teen. There's a real appeal to vaping, and you're seeing it more and more. But I guess your concern is that it continues to be unregulated, and I guess the harms are still very much unknown.
Well, look, yes, I agree with some of that. Vaping is an adult consumer product. It's a product to help adult smokers quit. It's not designed for young people, and young people shouldn't be accessing it. I mean, for adults, vaping is at least 95% safer than smoking. So it's a very popular and very effective quitting aid. But what we're seeing is that young people are getting hold of these products, and that's something we need to look at and make some serious changes for.
I am hearing anecdotally that, there's even service stations around the region because the kids have told me they go to these places because they can get vapes at basically half the price of where they get them from otherwise. And they openly say it's an under-the-counter type of deal, but at the same time it's happening quite openly as well.
It is. And a lot of these outlets are advertising vaping products. You can buy them from tobacconists, convenience stores, petrol stations, nightclubs. And the products they're selling are unregulated, so they're not approved for use in Australia. They've not been shown to be safe. And they have very high levels of nicotine, more than most people need. So there is a higher risk of addiction for these products. But the reason the black market has flourished is because it's so hard for adults to get legal vaping products. So to get a vape to help you quit smoking, you need to see a doctor. First of all, you need to find one who will give you a script, and most won't. You need to go to a pharmacy who will dispense it, and most won't. Or you need to import it from overseas. So very few actually have a script. So the black market has sprung up to fill that gap. And the black market, of course, isn't concerned about quality products. They're not concerned about minimum age of sale. And I think that's why this problem has arisen. And it's because of our regulations.
I've always been a strong believer, when it comes to the broader drug issue, that it should be treated as a medical issue, not a criminal issue. But at the end of the day, this type of situation that we're in basically is evading both of those possible systems to deal with smoking the traditional cigarettes and reducing the harm in our society.
Well, exactly. And the strange thing is that you can buy a cigarette anywhere. A cigarette kills 2 out of 3 long-term smokers, and you don't need a prescription or anything much to buy a cigarette. They're hardly regulated. But to get a vaping product, which is 95% safer, you've got to jump through lots of hoops. And what other countries do, like New Zealand and the UK, is they sell these products through licensed consumer outlets, which have severe penalties and loss of license for breaches of sale. So they can only be sold to adults. So kids can't get them. And the black market pretty much disappears because adults can get their supplies. And yes, it'll always be a black market. But you're right that it needs to be a medical issue, not a criminal issue. And what we're doing is we're handing this over to the criminals. The black market has taken over and we're told that proceeds are often being used to support crime, like with illicit tobacco. But we need to change the regulations so adults can access these products, and so we can restrict access for kids.
Interestingly, if we can go back to something that you said, I'd always been of the understanding that the impacts of vapes were basically unknown. But I guess if they're properly regulated and, of course, properly manufactured for their specific purpose as basically a medical device to actually assist people in giving away traditional cigarettes. So, just give me a bit more clarification there. So, you know, obviously if the nicotine levels are fairly low, vaping is generally deemed to be quite safe, but obviously as a medical product.
Well, nicotine is relatively benign, though, Murray. That's one of the misconceptions. Nicotine doesn't cause cancer. It doesn't cause lung disease. It doesn't cause heart disease. It is addictive, but in itself, it's relatively benign. A lot of people are confused about that. But we're now quite confident that vaping is only a tiny fraction of the risk of smoking. And that's because smoke has over 7,000 chemicals from burning tobacco. In vapor, a typical e-cigarette has about 100 chemicals in very small or trace doses. And a big study from the UK last week, from the UK government, looked at 800 studies and concluded that tobacco e-cigarettes pose only a tiny fraction of the risk of smoking and are about 95% safer. So it's not as safe as fresh air. And if you're not a smoker, you shouldn't be doing it. But if you're a smoker, switching to vaping leads to dramatic health improvements, and we've seen that in lots of research.
So at the end of the day, it's, I guess, more a situation of this medical opportunity is basically going amiss, and, you know, maybe it's more the teenagers that are really getting ripped off blind, and it's, I guess, you know, shady elements of our society that are profiting as a result of this.
Yeah, exactly. What we need from regulation is a process to allow adults to access these safer products to help them quit smoking, but at the same time, regulations to reduce access to young people who shouldn't be using these products. And that's what's being done overseas. In the UK and New Zealand, that model is working. But in Australia, we have a model that is only making things worse, that's created a black market and has led to high rates of uptake by young people.
It's a really interesting subject, and I think certainly for our Wellness Tuesday spot that we got you on for today, that really fills a really interesting gap, and I guess an information gap in the market as well. Dr. Colin Mendelson, he's a member of the Smoking Cessation Guidelines Expert Advisory Group. Really interesting chat. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Murray. Thank you so much.
The Christian O'Connell Show.